Friend, please help Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry by supporting the cost to produce Spirit-Filled Radio and Podcast for this current fiscal year. You can become a partner with Spirit-Filled Hearts by donating monthly. Your contributions make a difference in the lives of all those who listen to our radio shows and podcasts. Thank you for your support. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click on the donate button. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and to meditate on the teaching that he's given us in his word and the apostles' teaching to help us internalize the glorious gift that we've been given and to be able to understand it more deeply so that we can live out of it and step into the kind of freedom of the sons and daughters of God that we see in the life of the apostles. We're going to talk a little bit more today about Jesus's conversation with Nicodemus, which we began yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can find the programs there. You can download them on whatever device you'd like, and encourage you to look at downloading the Renewal Ministries app. You can listen to this program and all that we're doing at Renewal Ministries in terms of videos and radio and television and things we're writing. It's all there, free for the asking, you know, and I think it'd be helpful. You know, those of you who are involved in teaching in any kind of way in, you know, small groups in your parish, or you're involved in, you know, catechesis or whatever, we've got a lot of good stuff there that can help support, I'm sure, some of the content you're already getting from your parish and other kinds of things that can help you kind of broaden your teaching. And we try as best we can to help equip the church as much as possible. So, and also, if you could continue to help us, if this program is blessing you, help us by spreading the word. Help people tune into the program. And if the Lord so puts it on your heart, to be able to donate as well to the ministry and the ministry of Ave Maria Radio. Okay, so here we go. We're picking up with the conversation with Nicodemus. It's reaching its culmination. Yesterday, Nicodemus was scratching his head. He couldn't understand, like, how is someone born from above? And Jesus is talking about the gift of eternal life. He had said earlier to Nicodemus that Nicodemus wants to know, how can a man be born again? Jesus said, by water and the Spirit, right? By baptism. In baptism, we become a new creation. So that's really what he means. And he said, everyone needs to be born again. It's not baptism, and the reality that Jesus reveals to us there and the apostles give to us is not just, it's not just a ritual that's good for some people and every different kind of religion, every different grouping that's pursuing its own bliss and, you know, embracing a historical religion in some way. They all have their own way of initiation or their way of transcendence or something like that. And at the end of the day, it's all equal. Let's all just kind of affirm each other's particular perspective on it. No, there's really one way for salvation. And that's what Jesus is talking about here again today to Nicodemus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is John 3:16, the famous passage. So that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but might have eternal life. Now, Jesus has been talking about gaining eternal life. How do you access eternal life? He said, I'm the one that's come down from heaven. I'm the only one. And I'm bringing life. I'm bringing the kingdom to earth. And I'm going to make it possible for human beings to enter into eternity, into the life of God himself. And it begins with God's love, the love of the Father, who initiates the missions of the Trinity. For God so loved the world, he gave. He sent the Son. Jesus tells us that. The apostles remind him. Jesus is sent to do the Father's will, to make it possible for human beings to access and come into eternal life. And he goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That is, all who are in the world, that the world might be saved through him. Everyone needs to be saved. Jesus is the only one who can save, because he's the one that's come from heaven, sent by the Father. that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. So he's saying he doesn't come to condemn the world itself, like just everyone's condemned. He knows that everyone's living a death-directed life and is under sin and cannot save themselves. But his first motive is to come to save. So he said, the world here, really what he's implying, the world, he's talking about the fallen dimension of this world, is already condemned, and he reveals that on the cross. There is no future. There is no life. There is no eternal life for it. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. So faith is critical here. Whoever believes, faith is the foundation. It's the entry point. It's the faith that believes Jesus is teaching who Jesus says he is. Here he's telling Nicodemus, doesn't matter what I do, you still don't believe. Jesus expects him to believe, and all people who hear his story to believe. You're a truth teller, Jesus. Who you say you are, I believe it. And now I'm going to follow you. I'm going to entrust myself to you by your grace and by your strength to live as if everything you're saying is true and that I no longer belong to myself, but now I belong to you. I become your disciple. So whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. Rejecting the truth of Jesus leaves us standing in the condition of slavery that we were born into. And the death-directed destiny and the eternal separation from God, that is the condition of the human race. Like St. Paul said, you are by nature, we are by nature, he said, children of wrath. But he's exalting and writing to the Ephesians and saying, but you were dead and he made you alive. So we're in a state of spiritual death. We need to be awakened. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe in him has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is one Son of God who is eternally begotten of the Father, and that's Jesus. He came and took on human flesh to make eternal life possible for us. He became one of us. I've said many times on the program, he became one of us, and on the cross, he gave to God the Father what every single human being was called and created to do, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's not just a feeling, an internal emotion. Jesus showed us on the cross what it is. He humbled himself by becoming obedient, even unto death, death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him. Jesus continues, and this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. Here Jesus is giving one of the, again, a diagnosis of the human condition, of the whole human race. And he has a perfect understanding. He's the great physician that knows and understands the spiritual condition, the eternal reality of what's at stake, what's unfolding in our lives. It's really worth meditating on this. And this is the verdict. There's a verdict. There's a judgment. The light has come into the world, but people prefer darkness to light because their works are evil. So Jesus says he's coming to offer new life to all who believe. But he's saying, look at the human heart. Deep in the human heart is self-will, is a rejection of God's will and God's worldview, God's story. Why? Because the human heart is wicked and evil. Jesus is echoing the prophets of the Old Testament. He says he knows in John's Gospel, another place, he knows the heart of man. He knows the condition of the human heart. And he's coming as the great physician saying, look, let me show you your condition. Let me show you the condition of your heart. Let me tell you what that's going to lead to. I want to save you from that. But you have to overcome the pride that's in your heart to radically surrender yourself to the antidote that God has given, God the Father has given to us in His Son to overcome this condition. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, and so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. Remember, Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to the Father. He's the only way to salvation. He's the way, He's the truth. He's the truth about God. He's the truth about man. He's the truth about our actual condition, the truth about God's plan for salvation. So he's saying, anyone who lives this truth, who says yes to Jesus, because Jesus said He's the light. He's the light. He reveals the life of God that we can't access a full understanding of and connect with without God's grace, without God coming and revealing to us and giving and pouring out this grace and pouring out His life. His life is light, is what John said. We see something no human being's ever seen before. As the apostle said, the eternal life of God has appeared to us. There is a God. There is an eternal reality, and He's taken on human flesh, and He's conquered death. Living in that truth, stepping into that truth, following the footsteps of Jesus, embracing His teaching, means you're coming into the light. And coming into the light and doing the works of God, the love language of heaven, do the will of God. Obey His commandments from the heart. And the foundation, the summary of the commandments is love of God and love of neighbor with our whole heart. Even loving our enemies. Loving those who hate you, Jesus says. Friends, we cannot do that on our own strength. But it begins with repentance. That means turning wholeheartedly to the Lord. Repenting of our sin. Lord, please forgive me for the sin-sick direction of my life. Forgive me for the choices I've made that I insist on. I insist on certain sins in my life because I don't want to live without them. Or I'm hedging my bets and I'm kind of half in, half out. I'm living in the twilight. And Jesus said, no, come into the light. Come into the light. Come into the light means a full turning. As I mentioned a couple of months ago, teaching of St. John Paul II about, you know, what does it mean to become a disciple? Jesus is calling us to be followers, His followers. And he said, it means turning to Him, to be converted. Well, what does conversion mean? He said, from the outset of the invitation of Christ, like he's speaking to Nicodemus here, it calls for a total and radical response to Christ from the root, the core of our being, the center, the depth of the heart, the depth of the will to say, yes, Jesus, I believe. St. Peter falling down, leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You're right about me. And give your life to Him more fully and to walk in His footsteps. And friends, receive what Jesus is saying here. Not only the call, what I just described, but also the gift of eternal life, sharing in the glory of the Son of God. We have a short time on this life to receive this and to respond to it. So many things stand in the way of our radical and total willingness to respond to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's in this season take a deeper step. Let's go in, you know, to respond wholeheartedly to the Lord. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
When you tune into the Spirit-filled radio network, we guarantee you're going to hear solid Catholic teaching that will literally blow you away. Here is a word from Father Jacob Shea from his program, The Beauty of Our Catholic Heritage.
So the Holy Spirit is so powerful. We can do so many things through the power of the Holy Spirit. Never doubt the power of the Holy Spirit to act in your life. I mean, we do get in his way all the time, but you know, when we don't, right, we are a force to be reckoned with. We must let the gifts activate within us and not put anything in the way of that sail. We want that sail to be wide open so that the Holy Spirit can blow us really quickly to heaven.
For more, come find us at spiritfilledmedia.org. That's spiritfilledmedia.org. Spirit-Filled Radio is in partnership with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange in Southern California. Words of inspiration from the founder and president of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry, Deacon Steve Greco.
When we ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for our families, our marriages, our children, our grandchildren, unbelievable things happen.
For more great content, check out SpiritFilledRadio.org. SpiritFilled Radio is in partnership with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange in Southern California. SpiritFilledRadio.org.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk today about the Holy Spirit a little bit more as we're making our way toward Pentecost. And the last couple of days, if you haven't had a chance to tune in to the program, we've been following Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus from the Gospel of John. And Jesus talks about the Spirit and needing to be born again and that kind of thing. And Nicodemus is scratching his head. And so really the essence, friends, of Christianity is new life in Christ. We've talked about it many times on the program. And that new life is the Spirit. We're sharing in the glory of the Lord. What's the glory of the Lord? The glory of Christ, his anointing as Messiah, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, the new life, the God life is given to us in the Holy Spirit. And so it's really helpful to know, I think it's I guess it's not surprising to me, but I regularly run into people in conversations with Catholics who kind of have a bit of an understanding of the Holy Spirit, but not a deep one. You know what I mean? And there's so much more there. And I thought I'd just touch on some realities and you might say, you know, facts and truth about the Holy Spirit in our lives. So what do we know? We know the Holy Trinity, right? God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we profess in the Creed. The Trinity is the ground of all reality. You know, it's a communion of persons, of love from all eternity, the Father and the Son, and then the Holy Spirit is that intense fire and furnace of love between the Father and the Son. I love 1 John chapter 1, where John is saying, what we have seen, what we've heard, what we've touched, we declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. And they say, they declare it to invite people to enter the fellowship that they are living in with the Father and the Son. And this is made possible by the Holy Spirit. Here's what they said, so that you might have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Here's the essence of the joy and the lived experience of the apostles that's at the core of Christianity. We've been given a new life in the Holy Spirit, making it possible for us to become children of God. He gave us, as John said, he gave us power to become something different. We weren't automatically, by virtue of being made in God's image and likeness, God's children in this way. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus the last few days, you must be born again to a new life through water and the Spirit. And you see the joy that's in the heart of John. They really get what's at the core of it all. It's not like, hey, we've been given new gifts or things look great for us and we're going to have different assignments and it's going to be exciting to be a part of this missionary adventure, which it is. But what they're saying is we know this. We have fellowship, friendship, family-like relationship, agape love connection with the Father and the Son. We have been brought into the communion of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's through the Holy Spirit. We say in the Nicene Creed about the Holy Spirit, He's the Lord and giver of life. He's the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. Jesus Christ is Lord. That means the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. Jesus is part of the Godhead. You know, he's God. And the Holy Spirit is the very life of God. He's the giver of life. And with the Father and the Son, He is worshiped and glorified. As He proceeds from the Father and the Son, from all eternity, there's, you know, theological descriptions and beautiful theology around this, the processions of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father sending the Son coming under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the will of God the Father, is sent to bring about the salvation of the world, bring about conquering all the enemies set against the human race, the world, the flesh, the devil, and to make it possible. Then the Holy Spirit is sent from the Father, from the Son. The Father gives over to the Son the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is sent. And the Holy Spirit, with the Father and the Son, is worshiped and glorified. The Holy Spirit is also the promise of the Father. Jesus uses that language. He said to the apostles in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, His resurrection appearance, the account in Luke's gospel, said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in this city until you are clothed with power from on high. That was His command to, to wait until the day of Pentecost, till the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit is the first agent of the church's mission, which we'll hear in just a minute. But then in John chapter 7, verse 39, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, this is Jesus, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's another image of the Holy Spirit. Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him would receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Gospel of John, Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit, helping people understand it, preparing them for it. And the Holy Spirit had not yet been given here, John tells us, because Jesus had not been glorified. That means he hasn't risen from the dead and been exalted at the right hand of God the Father. Not just the resurrection. The resurrection and the ascension are fundamentally one act separated in time. Jesus rises from the dead to enter into the glory of the Father in his human flesh that is then glorified. He's the new Adam. He's one of us. He's a life-giving spirit. And from that place at the right hand of the Father, who's now the head of a new humanity, a new creation, he pours out the Holy Spirit. That's what John is referring to here. The coming of the Holy Spirit is the living sign that Jesus has taken his place at the right hand of God the Father in glory. The second Adam, in his own person, has to take a race of people who have fallen from glory and are being raised now in Jesus to glory, to the glory of the Father. John 17, Father, you have given your Son power over all flesh to give eternal life to all those you have given him. Acts 1, the ascension, Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. He said, just before ascending, he said to the apostles, John baptized with water, but his last days, Jesus will baptize, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is, you will be immersed and plunged into the life of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit through baptism. So that's the promise of the Father. Then the missions of the Holy Spirit. The mission, the Holy Spirit first comes to reveal to human hearts the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ and to awaken the human heart to the lordship of Jesus and then to cry out, like, which is the central cry of the early church, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Savior. That's what Jesus means. Christ, he's the anointed one, the one who gives the Holy Spirit that enables us to be born again, and he's Lord. All power and authority in heaven and earth belong to him. 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Of course, any human being can say those words, but Paul's talking about the radical conviction of experience that flows from an experiential knowledge and an awareness of the truth that there is no other Lord, there is no other Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." God's glory is revealed on a human face, the person of Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit who manifests Christ to us. So he is the revealer of Jesus as Lord. Number two, he makes us born again. "Truly, truly, I say to you," this is John 3, 5, and 6, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." 1 John 3, 2, "Beloved, we are God's children now." John 1, 12, "He gave us power to become children of God." Number three, the Holy Spirit pours God's love into our hearts. Romans 5, 5, "God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Number four, the Holy Spirit reveals God as our Father. Romans 8, 15, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received a spirit of sonship. And when we cry out, 'Abba, Father,' it is the Spirit himself bearing witness to our spirit that we are children of God." It's the Holy Spirit, again, that makes us born again. By the command of the Father and the Son, he makes us born again, children of God. And Paul says in this section as well, the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit deep in our heart. And there's a new story in us. There's a new conviction and faith and truth that's forming in us. And it's the realization that we indeed are children of God, and the alienation and the slavish fear and that human beings feel is overcome by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, now, the Spirit also gives us power to overcome our enemies, the world. "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." 1 John 4, 4. "The flesh, by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Romans 8, 13. "The devil, if by the finger of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Luke 11, 20. I'm moving quickly through this. You can go back to this. You can find this program, you know, on our website. You can download the Renewal Ministries app and you can access this. And I'm trying to just get through these and kind of read the verses as well to you, cite the verses so that you can go and look for yourself. So the finger of God is a reference of the Holy Spirit. It's by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that the demons are cast out. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. John 16, 8. "He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me." Number seven, he convicts us of sin. Next one is, he'll be our advocate and our counselor. John 16, 13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth and declare to you the things that are to come." John 14, 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." That's wonderful. It's amazing. So advocate, counselor, helper, the Holy Spirit is present in all the lives of all those who are baptized. And you can lean into the Holy Spirit, talk to the Holy Spirit, you know, seek the counsel and the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also gives us power to witness to Jesus. Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses," giving testimony to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us charism, spiritual gifts, which is the power of God to do the works of God. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. "To each has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Next, the Holy Spirit gives us power to live in a new way of life. Galatians 5, 25. "If we live by the Spirit, we shall also walk by the Spirit." Galatians 5, 16. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." This is the way of life. This is the transformation. And it's the Holy Spirit that's at work in us, bringing about that transformation. Finally, he gives us eternal life. Romans 8, 11. "If the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit who dwells in you." He will give you his life, a share in his life through the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, and you will pass from death to life. Finally, the Father. The Father loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Luke 11:13, "If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" There's more for all of us, friends. Don't be afraid to ask the Father for revelation of the Spirit. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
In the Scripture, Jesus' teaching on the conditions of salvation is consistent, urgent, and pervasive. Friends, I'd like to offer you Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? The booklet unpacks several gospel passages so we can find and stay on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE. That's renewalministries.net/FOE.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, please consider supporting Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry with a one-time or monthly gift. Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are only funded by generous donors who believe in our mission to evangelize.